7 of the Pew Bibles, Romans 4. So what are we going to say? Are we going to find that Abraham is our ancestor on the basis of genealogy? Because if Abraham was made righteous because of his actions, he would have had reason to brag, but not in front of God. What does the scripture say? Abraham had faith in God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. Workers' salaries aren't credited to them on the basis of an employer's grace, but rather than on the basis of what they deserve. But faith is credited as righteousness to those who don't work, because they have faith in God, in whom makes the ungodly righteous. In the same way, David also pronounces a blessing on the person to whom God credits righteousness apart from actions. It says, "Happy are those whose actions outside the law are forgiven, and those whose sins are covered. Happy are those whose sin isn't counted against them by the Lord." Skipping to verse 13, the promise to Abraham and to his descendants that he would inherit the world didn't come through the law, but through the righteousness that comes from faith. If they inherit because of the law, then faith has no effect, and the promise has been canceled. The law brings about wrath, but when there isn't any law, there isn't any violation of the law. That's why the inheritance comes through faith, so that it will be on the basis of God's grace. In that way, the promise is secure for all of Abraham's descendants, not just for those who are related by law, but also those who are related by faith of Abraham, who is the father of all of us. As it is written, "I have appointed you to be the father of many nations." So Abraham is our father in the eyes of God in whom he had faith, the God who gives life to the dead and calls things that don't exist into existence. May God's blessings be upon this reading this morning. The American dream has been achieved by many, many people through the years. Actress Whoopi Goldberg says, "You can come from anywhere and be anything you want in this country. That's exactly what I have done." One of six children, John D. Rockefeller, was raised almost single-handedly by his devout Baptist mother in poverty. Oprah Winfrey was born out of wedlock to teenage parents in poverty. She was repeatedly molested by family members and gave birth at age 14 to a son who then died. Arnold Schwarzenegger, Chris Gardner, Tyler Perry are names on an endless list of famous people that we know have realized the American dream. The Providence Book Group has been reading a memoir this month that is actually a great example of the realization of the American dream. In her book, Educated, Tara Westover tells her story of growing up in a super strict Mormon family in rural Idaho. And her family did not believe in a medical system or school system or anything that they deemed was in any way, shape, or form related to the government. Those things were of Satan. So Tara was born at home and did not have a birth certificate or social security number. She never went to school a day in her life, was never treated by a doctor for anything, even very serious things, including two car accidents where she was knocked unconscious, not when she was very, very seriously ill or very seriously injured. She and her siblings were homeschooled, which in practice meant that the kids were handed an old textbook and went off to their various rooms to look for the pictures. But with the help of an older brother, she secretly started studying for the ACT. She got several jobs at a very young age to save money and was eventually able to go to BYU. In one of her first classes, In her first semester, she raised her hand to ask the meaning of a word that she had never heard of before. The word was Holocaust. In another class, studying with a friend as she was failing in the class and couldn't figure out why, her friend let her know that she couldn't just look at the pictures in the textbook, she had to actually read the words as well. And in her book, she said that made all the difference. And so through sheer determination and a lot of hard work and time and the support of people along the way, Tara ended up earning a PhD from Harvard and now is a best-selling author. She has most definitely lived the American dream, coming from nowhere with nothing and achieving great success. The American dream holds this for us, that men and women born into poverty with an undereducated family in isolation can, through determination and hard work, make their way up the ladder of success socially and economically. We are blessed in the United States to live in a place that doesn't have a caste system that determines who we are and where we will be all of our lives. We are born and living in a time that does not say that we have to do whatever our fathers did. I know that for many people, the reason that they came originally to the U.S. was for the dream of something greater, the chance to work and have more. I know that my own ancestors came from Ireland during the potato famine in order to have life, and it is why immigrants continue to want to come here. But even for those of us who are many generations removed from our immigrant ancestors, or those of us who were not born into poverty, abuse, or isolation, still the ethic and possibilities of the American dream still flows through our hearts and through our veins. We grow up hearing from the very beginning that we must always do our best, that we must work hard, and that if we do, that the sky is the limit for us. That we can be astronauts and surgeons and lawyers and CEOs, entrepreneurs of all kinds, and even the President of the United States. We can be anything if we are willing to put in the time and the sweat. The Apostle Paul also was raised to think that if he worked hard enough and followed God's laws, he could achieve greatness by earthly standards, but more importantly, by holy standards. In his letter to the church in Philippi, he says he had every reason to boast. I was circumcised on the eighth day, a member of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew, born of Hebrews. As to the law, a Pharisee. As to zeal, a persecutor of the church. As to righteousness under the law, blameless. With God as his master, he worked hard to earn salvation, to earn righteousness. But then he met Jesus on the road to Damascus. You remember the story. He was knocked off his horse and lost sight and had an incredible experience with the risen Christ, where his understanding of the law and of righteousness was turned upside down, and he came to know firsthand that salvation is a gift. Paul experienced God's amazing, unbelievable, overflowing love and forgiveness through Christ. God in Jesus Christ forgave him for the evil that he had done, even for the imprisonment and the murder of the disciples of Jesus. For Paul, justification by grace was a theological concept only after it had been a life-changing, throw-you-to-the-ground, blind-you, awe-filled experience. In Abraham, the father of the faith, Paul saw a similar story, another person who had met God in an awe-filled experience. But you see, there was always this problem with Abraham for the Jews because he lived before Moses. before Moses received the commandments, the law, the Torah. But Abraham was righteous in God's eyes, not because he had followed the law, which he didn't even have, not because he was circumcised, because that didn't happen until 13 years after God called him, not because he was worshiping according to Scripture, because those instructions had not yet been given, nor because he had earned righteousness in some other way. No, Abraham, Paul observed, was made right with God through God's grace. And while his words are a little strange, if you read that section that I didn't read, it's a little strange to our ears. In Sunday school, as we're reading through Romans, we have to pause and try to figure out what he's talking about. But Paul is talking to a Jewish and Jewish Christian audience in Rome. Basically, he's saying that a model like the American dream does not work with God. At what point did Abraham become righteous, he says? Was it when he followed God's commands? Was it when he was circumcised? Was it when he followed the law? No, Paul says. Before Abraham did anything, he believed. He had faith, and he was righteous. You can follow every law that Moses gave us, but it won't get you to the right hand of God. You can read Scripture every day. You can pray every day. You can volunteer. You can visit with the homeless and the prisoners. You can attend church every week. You can devote your whole life to serving God, and that will not get you a ticket to heaven. You can love your neighbor and your enemies. You can pray for people who persecute you, but it will not get you your choice of wings and a halo. Faith is what we must have. Trust. Belief, because none of us are good enough. None of us are smart enough or pretty enough or hardworking enough. None of us are holy enough to receive God's love. God's love cannot be earned or worked for or won or bought. God's love is the gift of grace. Now, we've all heard this many, many times. I have heard it, read it, studied it, and yet we still struggle to live it out, to practice it really in our everyday lives. It's hard to hold this truth in one hand of God's grace given freely out of love with this idea in the other hand that nothing in life is free. And if it seems too good to be true, it probably is. It's hard to accept, to really accept and live out that God justifies the ungodly, as it says in verse 5, not waiting for them to shape up first. It's hard for us to accept this level of grace for ourselves, but it seems even harder for us to acknowledge that grace is also there for others. We want people to shape up first and prove themselves. We want justification and righteousness to be on our terms, not on God's. But the thing is, what's at stake here is the very character of God. The one who gives life to the dead, the one who provides grace upon grace and love without end and no boundaries. I once met a woman that I'll never forget. I was at a party, this is several years ago, at a friend's house. And after I caught up with the folks that I knew, I moved to meet some of the women who were there that I had never met. And there was one woman who immediately stood out to me. I couldn't take my eyes off of her. She had platinum blonde hair and the most unnatural face that I've ever seen in person. Her skin was pulled so tight that her eyes were squinted and her face was expressionless. It looked like there was actually no part of her body that was natural. And as she spoke so loudly, I couldn't help but overhear what she said. She talked about her Mercedes, her new Mercedes. She talked about how she was trying to talk her husband into putting in a tennis court at their home. She was inappropriate with some of her words and comments. She made everybody in the room uncomfortable. and then she made a grand exit. And then I learned that recently her children had left her to go and live with her ex-husband. I learned that she didn't have a church home or church family, that her only friends were those who played tennis with her at the club. And I left there wondering what led her and people like her to be so plastic. What was it that it would take for her to be able to be understand in her heart of hearts that she already was loved, and not by anything that she had done, not because of her clothes or jewelry or surgery, but because she is a child of God. One of Paul's goals in his letter to the Roman was to help the Jewish Christians accept the Gentiles as equal in the faith. There was this tension between the two groups as to what one must do in order to be a faithful Christian. The Jewish Christians believed strongly in continuing to follow the law as handed down by Moses. That included circumcision, food restrictions, worship guidelines. The Gentile Christians didn't follow these laws. So Paul lifts up both and respects the Jewish law. He was, after all, a practicing Jew. He followed the law. He also acknowledges Gentiles as full members into the body of Christ. He responds to this conundrum by using Abraham, the father of the faith, who had a good and right relationship with God, not because of anything that Abraham had done, but because of God's grace. There isn't anything that you and I can do, or Tara Westover, or the tennis woman, or anyone else to obtain God's love, except to receive it. I'm not loved because of my job or how I live out my faith. It has nothing to do with where I came from or what car I drive or who my friends are. It has nothing to do with what I have or do not have. God's love has always been available to me from before I was even conceived. And the same is true for all of us, everyone here and everyone outside of here, those at the Jessamine County Detention Center, everyone who believes and works for the American dream, and everyone who doesn't. But we haven't done a good job of getting this word out to people. It seems that people on the outside of the church and many on the inside of the church are sure that there are requirements, a checklist of rules that we must follow in order to be loved by God, in order to be accepted into the family. Perhaps it feels just too crazy for us to tell people that they're already forgiven and loved and free. We feel silly because it doesn't make sense to us that it could possibly be that easy. Or maybe we think that people will take us a little more seriously if we can make it a little harder for them to get in. Maybe we think it will give us more credibility if people have to work a little bit hard to obtain God's favor. Maybe we think we should keep that little thing a secret if we ever have a chance of getting anybody to come to church. But it's God's character at stake here, not mine and not yours. We have to let everyone know that God is a God of mercy and grace, that God is a God of forgiveness and love, and that they don't have to do anything to receive it except say yes. All they have to do, all we have to do, is open our hearts and our lives and receive the power of God's love. It is so very easy. And yet, somehow, we make it so very hard.